Gospel of Mark. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, for the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I saw a cartoon this week about a chicken named Henny Penny. Do you remember Henny Penny? Sometimes she's called Chicken Little. That might help jog your memory. So anyway, in this story, a nut falls out of a tree and it hits Henny Penny on the head. She's convinced that it's a piece of the sky that's fallen. And so she runs around yelling, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling." And she's so convincing that all the other animals panic too. So in this cartoon, we see the bottom of a stairwell. And at the base of the stairs, a terrible accident has just occurred. A man is lying sprawled out face first on a concrete floor. We see Henny Penny's head and wings peeking out from underneath the man, and loose feathers are all over the floor. It's terrible. And off to the side, we see Foxy Loxy and Ducky Lucky observing the scene with horror. Foxy Loxy says, "Oh, this guy is falling. I totally misunderstood what she was saying." And Ducky Lucky sadly replies, "Me too. The guy is falling, not the sky is falling." So poor Henny Penny. I have to say, I'm not a big fan of apocalyptic literature, those biblical stories about the end of the world. Fear of the end times has inspired too many doomsday cults, and far too often this fear has made believers mean and judgmental about who is going to heaven and who is going to hell. And many Christians spend way too much time trying to understand the symbolism of Revelation, for example, too much time trying to figure out what 666 means and worrying about the mark of the beast and who's the Antichrist, and not enough time doing the work of the kingdom, things like feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. So here we are, 1 week from Thanksgiving Sunday, 2 weeks from the first Sunday of Advent, 5 weeks from Christmas, and this is our gospel reading for the day, a bit of Jesus' apocalyptic discourse. What terrible timing. Except, we are almost 2 years into a global pandemic. 751,000 Americans have died. Last summer, we had record high temperatures in Oregon and massive wildfires around the country, which brought the reality of climate change uncomfortably close to home. Inflation's on the rise. Shipping delays have slowed the delivery of all kinds of consumer goods, and workers are quitting their jobs in droves. And the political news is always depressing. And so sometimes it does feel like the sky is falling. Couldn't we skip the apocalyptic discourse? It's in the lectionary. It'll come back around in 3 years. But this reading is not just any piece of apocalyptic literature. This is not some fantastic story from the book of Daniel or a wild vision from the book of Revelation. No, this is Jesus, very own apocalyptic discourse from the Gospel of Mark. And maybe right now is the perfect time for a little apocalypse. Maybe, like the exiled believers in Daniel's day, and those persecuted early Christians of John's Revelation, and those frightened disciples in Mark's gospel, maybe we also need to hear and understand what Jesus was trying to say. Maybe there's a reason that this apocalyptic reading showed up in the lectionary. Maybe we need it right now when it often does feel like the sky is falling. Apocalyptic literature and apocalyptic movements appear whenever there is turmoil. Turmoil of any kind, social, political, cultural, religious. Mark's gospel reflects that kind of turmoil. We don't know if it was written at the beginning of the first Roman-Jewish war or if it was written immediately afterward, but either way, the gospel reflects the tension of that terrible time. Some of Rome's Jewish subjects led an armed rebellion, and they managed to take back the city of Jerusalem for a brief period. But in the year 70 CE, the Roman army responded with overwhelming force. For 5 months, they laid siege to the city, and when they invaded, they burned and destroyed the temple and most of Jerusalem. It was a savage and bloody defeat. And Mark's community lived through this war. They witnessed the decimation of the city and her inhabitants, as well as the temple's destruction. And that is the context for this story. In Mark's gospel, the disciples are in awe during their first visit to the temple. And they say, "Look, teacher, look at these large stones and large buildings." And Jesus replies, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. It will all be thrown down." Now, of course, the disciples want to pin Jesus down. They want details. When will this happen, and how will we know it's coming? Tell us, please. Jesus goes on to warn them. Don't be led astray. Don't follow false teachings. Hold on to what is true. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes and famines. Hold on, this is not the end. "Do not be alarmed," Jesus says in Mark. "This must take place, but the end is still to come." Listen to Jesus' words again. "Do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come." Now, how's that for a reassurance? Does that make you feel better? Don't worry, there will be wars and earthquakes and famines, but it's not the end. So let us consider the meaning of the word apocalypse. Usually, we think of an apocalypse as a catastrophic event, a devastating finale, the end of the world even. But this is inaccurate. In Greek, apocalypse means to disclose or to reveal something that's hidden. So what is Jesus trying to disclose in this apocalyptic discourse? And what is he revealing? Remember his reassurance. Do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. So, believe it or not, apocalyptic literature in the Bible is meant to inspire hope. Yes, terrible things will happen. Wars, earthquakes, famines, global pandemics. Yes, all of this is real, and yet these terrible things are not the final word. For believers, for people of faith, for followers of Jesus Christ, God has the final word. In the end, God has the victory. Now, sometimes it's very hard to hold on to that. It's hard to keep the faith, to maintain trust, to believe in love. But this is the through line in all of Scripture, in all of Jewish and Christian history. This is the witness. In the end, God has the victory. Kathleen Norris is one of my favorite writers on the spiritual life, and she has a book called Amazing Grace, A Vocabulary of Faith. And she has an entry in here called Apocalypse. She writes this: "We know that marriages, families, communities, nations often come together and discover their true strength when some apocalypse, some new revelation of the fault lines in our lives has occurred. For some reason, we human beings seem to learn best how to love when we're a bit broken, when our plans fall apart, when our myths of self-sufficiency and goodness and safety are shattered. Apocalypse is meant to bring us to our senses." End quote. We discover our strength in the midst of apocalypse. Is that true for you? Does that resonate in your life? Are you stronger for what you've survived? Kathleen Norris says it beautifully. We learn best how to love when we're a bit broken. I think we're all a bit broken right now. The pandemic has revealed the fault lines in our society, in families, in schools, in workplaces, and healthcare systems. We're grieving and sad, and we wish to return to some sort of normalcy. But this apocalypse has revealed our weak spots, the places where things were not so good and not so healthy. And we are slowly learning that there is no return to normalcy. The old normal was not so good, it was broken. And the new normal requires positive change. So maybe this pandemic is a long lesson in love. As Kathleen Norris says, it's an opportunity to learn best how to love. At the end of our reading from Mark, Jesus says this: "This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The beginning of the birth pangs. Giving birth is messy and painful, and there's no skipping labor. Is that right, Chris? At the same time, it is also beautiful and so very hopeful, because in the end, there's a brand new, beautiful baby, a new life in the world, full of innocence and promise. And that is what Jesus is promising to his disciples and to us. All of this pain and hardship has the possibility of leading to the birth of something new, something beautiful, something more reflective of God's kingdom on earth. So maybe we are learning best how to love. Amen.